And welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast. I'm John Bradley, and our topic is getting the advantage when applying online. Now, let's be really honest. How many people do you know who have gotten a job by filling out an application online? Filling out questionnaires is a very time-consuming process, and also these online questionnaires have secret software traps that you need to know about. Well, today's broadcast will help you get a competitive edge when you're filling out the form and answering all the questions. To help me discuss this topic, I'm joined by a special co-host, Linda Baugh, out of Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And you can see Linda's picture and bio. Just click Preferred Counselors on our toolbar. Hello there, Linda, in Scottsdale.
Hello, John. Thank you. Glad to be here today.
Good to have you. And looking forward to this topic. I'm hoping our listener is catching the drift that filling out online applications is not something you and I feel is worth all that time. Now, Linda, you've been helping men and women advance in their careers since 1985. You were president and founder of ACE, Executive Careers, and that is in Scottsdale, Arizona. And you began your profession as a headhunter. And there you learned how to help people get hired. And from there, you've expanded your expertise to include helping clients at mid-career find their occupational sweet spot. And Linda, I understand that you have published numerous articles. You do a lot of speaking. And I would have to say you are one of my favorite co-hosts because of how clear and articulate you are when expressing your thoughts.
Well,
so do you.
So much.
The first 30 minutes today, you and I will talk about our topic, getting advantage when applying online, and then we'll take a short break and begin to answer job hunting questions which we have received. So let's jump in here, Linda, on how to succeed when filling out applications. And as we get started, I have a question for our listener. Is filling out online applications the best way to get hired? Three responses. A, yes. B, no way. C, I don't know. Well, the correct answer, Linda, is?
Well, it could be no way, or it could be I don't know.
Well, you know, we don't want to beat up our listener because there are those times when we have no option. But you and I agree that if all somebody is doing in job hunting is filling out online applications,
right,
they're going to stay unemployed a very, very long time.
That's true. So, I was talking with a client this morning, and she said, oh, I found all these jobs online. And I said, great, now let's see how we can find a way for you to network your way into the company. Let's do some research. But there are times when we just don't have any alternative. Or even if you network your way into the company, the person says, can I also need you to fill out that online application?
Yes.
Right?
That's right. And so the thing we want to clarify is the reason these online applications exist is because the company is large enough to be inundated with more applications and inquiries than they have time to respond. And so they're trying to come up with some efficient way to screen everyone out, put them on hold, bury their inquiry so they can get on with their business. And what, Linda, you and I have done is we've pooled our knowledge and experience. So I'd say we easily have between us 40 years plus experience. And We prepared to offer the listener some very key basic principles. And let me go over those principles quickly, and then, Linda, you and I will tackle each one of them more in depth. The first is we want to be very careful when we answer the question about compensation. What was your last income bracket? What were you paid for your last position? How much money you're looking for? So that's number one. Number two, we want to make sure that when filling out the application, you tailor the questions responses to that employer. Don't just get into a robotic template. And third, it's absolutely essential to try to get some inside coaching from someone that you know who can help you navigate through the intricate software secrets and traps that have been built in. And Linda, you and I have some client stories to share with that. So given that summary of the three key principles, let's go back to number one. Linda, this is one of your favorites, so let me let you take the lead here. How do you coach your clients to respond to the question about compensation?
Well, John, I'm so glad you asked, because I bet the listeners on the phone today are saying, that is my least favorite part of the application. How can I get past that? And the first basic tenet of negotiation, and you might think negotiation, I need to get the interview, is we don't want to reveal the salary or what we're looking for. So that's, if we can avoid it, we want to avoid it. If it's possible to write into that space, negotiable, for the desired compensation, or
N-E-G-O-T.
Market rate. Yeah, market rate, something like that. But some of these companies, just like you're saying, they've gotten so slick with these online applications, you cannot move forward or submit the application unless you enter actual numerals, numbers. So first we'll try to avoid putting in any numbers with, you know, open, negotiable, market rate, if we can do that. And then if we're stuck with having to put numbers in, now, John, I don't know, you and I talked about this the other day, but as far as past compensation, you really have to tell the truth. Because there are many companies that, before they hire you, they will want to verify your past compensation. And even people who are in sales positions are often asked to produce a copy of their W-2 from the previous year's compensation. So those are some of the things that, you know, that I'm coaching people on. What other thoughts do you have?
Yeah, well, I want to take a step back in terms of the principle here. The employer is attempting to use this compensation issue as a very keen screening tool.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And there's no way you can win. You're either too much or too little, and you kind of want to keep it open. When the employer likes you, meaning you get an offer, that's the time that you are in a better position to discuss compensation, and hopefully if their standard is lower than yours, maybe ask for more or ask for some graduated increments based on performance. But I would say that before filling out the application, that our listener should do a salary survey and find
yes.
out what the median for that position is. That's probably the safest, you know, if the question is what are your expectations,
mm-hmm.
then that, you know, that would be the way that I would do it. And, you know, putting in a cover letter, something to say that I'm willing to go with whatever, that is not going to work, because your cover letter is not going to be screened the same as the application form.
Right.
So if you can think about the application form, there are certain pieces of this form, certain slots, certain lines that the software is designed to search and evaluate quickly so some clerk at minimum wage can decide your future, you're getting a pretty good idea of what's going on. Because once those applications are electronically screened, and then they're sent to the first level decision maker, and that person will then decide, do we go the next level, which might be another series of questions, or it might be a telephone interview or a face-to-face interview. But I think the thing that's so important for the listener to understand is that it's only companies and nonprofits and government agencies that are overwhelmed with people wanting to get in that have to go to this extent of building a sophisticated online application process. That's what they're trying to do. They're hoping. I mean, the organization really wants good people, and so they're hoping to come up with some system that will only give them the cream of the crop. And sadly,
I'm not sure that they would get the cream of the crop. What they get are people that fit certain salary parameters regardless of how good the candidates are. Would that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, they're not getting the cream of the crop. That's kind of where I was going on that one.
Okay. All right.
Let's go to principle number two. We're saying to the listener, you got to tailor the application to the employer. There really are differences in the types of application. And, Linda, you had mentioned your experience with government agencies, public agencies, online applications. Why don't you expand on that?
Well, I did have a good story to tell, and that is, especially with some government entities, and I'm not talking about just the federal government, but, you know, municipal, county, state, you have to go through an online application. But I have worked with candidates who have networked into and talked with people in government departments saying, you know, I'm thinking about getting into this field, or I'm interested in your particular department. What kind of advice can you give me? And at least one individual they liked so much, the supervisor in the state land department, she was interested in being an appraiser, they said, you know, hey, we want to keep in touch with you. And every time a position was coming open, literally, they would contact her and say, Sarah, there's a position coming open. It's going to be soon. There will be some essay questions. Here's what they're looking for. So they were actually mentoring or prompting her so that when she did the online application, she would be addressing the questions in the way that the department was really wanting.
Yes.
So even if it's a formal situation like that, by networking, by talking with people, you can still get some help.
And Linda, I've had exactly the same experience. This one, Parks and Rec Agency, liked my client so much that they called him in. There was an opening. They sat him down, and they said, look, you're going to fill out the application form right here, and I'm going to explain to you how to answer the questions.
Oh, my gosh.
And the thing that our listener needs to understand, this is what you're up against. We'll pick it up after the break, Linda.
Okay, John. We have a short 2-minute break talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Well, tell me, John, what does a poor job fit look like, say, for someone in their mid-40s?
Well, Evan, that time can actually be one of despair or even great opportunity.
What do you mean, despair or opportunity? Those appear to be opposites.
Well, they are. A person in their mid-40s is beginning to realize that the first half of their work life is over, and yet They have developed a very deep habit pattern.
What kind of pattern?
Well, the pattern of going to work and putting up with less than a fulfilling job. The pattern of not looking forward to doing something with meaning and purpose. The pattern of seeing the glass half empty rather than half full.
Wait a minute. This is sounding like the old power of positive thinking.
Yeah, I guess so, in a way. I am saying that each person has to look at him or herself in the mirror and ask, do I have what it takes to make a difference, to break out of the routine and set a new course?
Well, hold it right there. I see a surge coming on, and we have run out of time on this break. Just keep that momentum and continue to tell us about breaking the old habits and setting a new course when we have our next break, okay?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDEC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
And so we are returning to our broadcast, and we're talking about how to get ahead when applying online. And for this topic, I have an expert to assist me, Counselor Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. Linda, we were cut off at the break when we were talking about principle number two, tailoring the application to the employer. And you had shared that story where I had a almost identical, similar story, where a public sector agency really liked a candidate and sat down and explained to that person how to fill out the application form. And in your case, it was an essay. You know, in my case, I really don't remember whether it was both essay and other types of questions. I just remember that certain words had to be included in the person's past experience.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I wanted to remind our listeners that when they are filling out those online applications, to use as many of the keywords that were in the posted position as possible, as long as they legitimately have those things in their past.
Yeah, I mean, words like multitasking and organizing events, giving a public address or training, and so on. It's the exact word, don't substitute the
right
word speaking for
right
training. If they use the word training, use the word training.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just want to say one of my favorites is the whole, some companies say supply chain, sometimes say buyer, sometimes some say purchasing agent. So, you may have done the same job under a different name, but use the words that they use.
Yes. Now, let's move here, because what we're saying is that each employer is different. They're not all using the same kind of software, but you will have to understand what they're after. They're trying to come up with a electronic system to find the person they're looking for, and they've wired the system to endorse their culture, their values, their objectives, what they think produces a high-performance employee, and they're expecting that you already know all this. You've done your homework. You've gone to their website. You've talked to someone on the inside. If there's one thing that it takes to succeed here, it's da-da-da-da-da. Our work culture espouses this and this and this. The reason you have to do all this is because there are people applying who know someone on the inside and have received coaching. And if you don't have that advantage, well, you're not first in line, and there's one person that's going to get hired for this position. Now, we've almost shared the third principle, Linda, but it is probably the most important, and that is when you apply online, get inside coaching. And, Linda, take that to the next level and explain why that's so important.
Well, there's a term that I use, and I hope the listeners will grab onto this term. It's called a double shot, meaning you may have to do an online application, but before you do that, if you can, you want to find a way to network into the company, to find someone who knows someone, to talk to someone. Using LinkedIn, for instance, you can usually identify people in the department of a company that you're interested in. So if you have that inside insight, then just like we've been talking about, when you do the application, it's tailored. And you may even be able to find out what the salary range is.
Exactly. You could find out those particular. Matter of fact, you could even ask that question. Now, I noticed on your application form that there's a salary expectation or a past compensation line or box. Can you help me? Because I've been coached or I've been trained to be somewhat hesitant in answering that question, and let those folks tell you.
Right.
Now, the thing that we want to provide for our listener, though, as we move away from these three key principles, is that the companies that are using advanced software are probably companies that have at least 100 employees or more, and the other benchmark would be to have a full-time HR person, because it's in the human resource department, HR, where that decision is made to implement the software, because there are a lot of ramifications. You don't just install some software and let it run by itself. Somebody has to manage it, and that is going to require a full-time person and that person's assistant to do that. So just a kind of a quick little reminder on numbers here. 80% of companies have 20 or less people employed there. And the vast majority of those companies that are in that 80% bracket have 5 employees. So the majority of employers out there are not using a sophisticated software online. They may have put together their own, quote, email, quote, application, and drafted it themselves, and they send it to you as an attachment, and you're just filling it out, and there are no buzzwords and so on. They're just treating it as an electronic document. So you do need to understand what's going on, and companies that are smaller, meaning 20 people or less, it's all by relationship. It's all by who you know. They have a very protected culture that everyone buys into. They work as a family. They may even have profit sharing. And so just filling out an application is not going to give that listener that advantage. Now, Linda, can you give us some tips on when somebody is filling out an application on, we're now beyond the key words that are used, but are there some thoughts here on if it's an essay question or if there are questions about what are the accomplishments that you were able to to do in your last job, or name your three primary duties, et cetera. Have you got some guidelines for us there?
You know, I do, John, but I forgot to mention something earlier, and I hope you'll forgive me for this. I want to be sure our listeners know when they're filling out that compensation, desired compensation, if they have to put something in there, where they can find out what's appropriate in that community for that type of job, salary.com, glassdoor.com, and if they belong to a professional association like a project manager, project management institute, they all have salary surveys that will give them for that geographic location, whether it's Portland or Washington, D.C. or Illinois, Chicago, Illinois.
And absolutely.
I missed that, so I wanted to be sure our listeners.
Yes, thank you. I would say you've just opened up a beautiful resource here. If our listeners are not aware that just about every type of occupation has a professional association, they need to take advantage of that, because that association's goal is to further the success of individuals in that occupation. The American Management Association, the Association of Retired Executives, and, you know, it just goes on and on and on. There is a directory of associations, and there is a fee to use it, but they give you the first I think they give you the first three searches free, and it's associationexecs.com. Wonderful, wonderful resource, and you can find out a huge amount of information about just about anything by going to that place. Okay, Linda, give us some of your excellence in selecting words, and how does one go about? I didn't do well in English, and I'm going to assume our listener didn't do well in English. So,
one thing to keep in mind in filling out those online applications, and if we have to do it, and we have to put in information about our former experience, focus on results, accomplishments, and whenever you can, quantify. And you don't have to put full sentences in the application. You can put bullet points that simply capture concepts. You know, save the company 15% on supplies by implementing such and such system.
And especially if you mentioned sales earlier, mm-hmm. What a company wants to see is what percent of the market share you increased, what your total gross sales revenue was, and if there was a starting point and 3 years later you moved it up to this point, whether you exceeded or met the sales quota for that particular year. Those are all numbers, and I agree, Linda, that is so, so essential, because if this employer is just scanning through hundreds and hundreds of these applications, these very important numbers and statistics are what's going to separate the sheep from the goats.
Thank you, John, for letting me interrupt for a moment, but even for an administrative assistant, I have seen people who are applying for jobs like that say that they revised a system of handling incoming calls, for instance, so they were able to get back to customers within 4 hours rather than 24 hours.
There you go. Right. Okay, we got the break, Linda, and we'll be back to talk about online applications.
All right. Well, we're taking a short 2-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about breaking out of long ingrained habits of going to work and just accepting less than a fulfilling job. John, in our last break, you started a surge to present a paradigm shift to break away from a dull work life.
Yeah, that's right, Evan. That is what I was attempting to do. You had commented earlier that this was a warmed over version of the power of positive thinking. And actually, I admit that in my earlier years, I read about some of the leaders in that movement for the purpose of looking for a nugget or two of truth. I did find something that has stuck with me all these years, and it's the power of the word believe.
Ah, you say believe.
That's right, believe. It means that those who believe with all their heart that it is possible to have a fulfilling career, they are more than halfway there. These clients just need some key aptitude test results, which they could validate.
You mean the on-location meeting with the person who has your job?
That's right. Once they find that person, and it doesn't take more than a couple of weeks, they can make the internal commitment to do what it would take to make it happen.
Well, what if they were way out on a cloud, unrealistic?
Well, that is what the counselor should provide, a sound, mature, practical buffer of what is real and possible for each person.
John, I want to hear more about this conviction process. I'm sure our listeners want me to fast forward to learn how it works. Can we pick it up at the next break?
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
We're back to our broadcast, and my special co-host today is Counselor Linda Baugh. We are talking about how to get the advantage when applying for positions online, and we have shared several principles and some personal case studies. Linda Baugh is from Scottsdale, Arizona, and she is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. If you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. Linda, we're just about wrapping up our discussion, and you were mentioning the importance of numbers and qualifiers. So can we say in summary, when a person is filling out the application form and it comes time to choosing words to describe one's past accomplishments, we need to be thinking about things a person has done and say them in a way that is measurable and identifiable rather than I led some meetings or I was in charge of a department of people. Well, how many people? What was your budget? And were there any were there any measurable achievements or accomplishments? And Linda, I don't know about you, but when I have my clients identify for me their achievements and accomplishments, I get this deer in the headlights, blank stare. Kind of like, what are you talking about? I says, I have to know that after 5 years of being in that job, what measurable things did you do for the company that show some kind of contribution? I got to have that. And, you know, it's just not off the top of your head. So what we don't want our listener doing is sitting down and planning a just, I'll get this. My goal for tonight is to fill out this application and send it out. And it may require going back and doing some very careful wordsmithing to quantify and qualify what contribution you've made in the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be fair, Linda?
Absolutely. So just a few, succinct bullet points about accomplishments and results is going to be far more received than, I have 15 years of experience. To say it, but people will start off like that. We need to capture their attention with what you're able to accomplish But that also would go, it's on the application, but John, what about the case where they say, and you must attach a resume and a cover letter or something like that?
Right. Well, Linda, you and I talked about that, and you beat me to it. I was going to ask you about this. The resume and cover letter need to be in the body of the email, not as an attachment. That is the strong advice from those that spend all their time focusing on resumes. Now, Linda, you and I do assist our clients in resumes and cover letters, but our goal is to get clients hired. We don't position ourselves as how to write a golden resume. I mean, that's nice, but I'm more interested in our client getting hired and having the resume as a tool to get hired.
Right.
So maybe we're a little bit hesitant to say that, you know, the resume is the thing. The thing is relationships, not resumes. And
right.
You and I have said that on other broadcasts.
Right.
So
there's a well-known organization that recently released a study from 2012, and of the group that they surveyed in job search, 67.6% of those who got new jobs, it was through networking, getting referred, or knowing someone. But keep in mind, it could have been a posted position, but you're working both angles.
Yes.
So you're trying to get that help, even if you have to submit the online application.
Yes. So in summary, to wrap up our topic before we get to our job seeker questions for today, what we are saying is there are times when you can't get around it. You must fill out an application, but it has to be viewed as a last resort. You should be spending your time contacting your preferred organizations, finding someone on the inside that you can talk to, and know how to determine those organizations that are growing and changing, because there will be opportunities right around the corner, and you want to focus on those. Linda, any last parting comment before we move to the job seeker questions?
Well, one that's just it, and I know you and I do not love this particularly, but in some instances when they are forced, and there is something that says you must, you know, attach your resume and cover letter, at the very least. We ask people to please put the cover letter and the resume together and save it as a PDF, not otherwise.
yes, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Absolutely, yes. Well, Linda, let's turn the corner and take a look at some of these job seeker questions that we have received. So you got one for us?
Well, John, I need a little bit of help here, perhaps from Cindy. My questions have disappeared off of my screen. So give me just I'm not finding my, and I had them all right here in front of me.
Do
you want to go one?
Cindy copied me.
Okay, go.
So maybe
right here. I've got it right here.
You got it? Okay.
Why don't we start with Sarah in Gresham, Oregon? I have been in retail hardware and building materials for almost 10 years. I want to get out of this occupation and try sales. How do I compete with other salesmen and women as I have no experience?
Okay, so we've got someone that is in a certain occupation for 10 years or so. They're wanting to get out. And they're feeling vulnerable because certainly they're competing with other people who have experience. Now, the good news about Sarah is she has identified a role or a job function she wants, sales. And I would probably say outside sales. That sounds that's where she's going, because she is in retail sales at this time, wants to get out of that. Now, my suggestion would be, if she's in retail hardware and building materials, in that store, there have to be thousands and thousands of different products. There are there are latches, there is lumber, there is glue, paint, blinds, carpeting, tools, drills, and on and on and on. And every one of those are represented by a different company. And so,
right,
like, for, you know, Delco or Milwaukee Tools calls on that hardware store to convince them to buy all these items and put them on the shelves. That's a salesperson.
That's
so my suggestion is, Sarah, actually Sarah's kind of in a driver's seat here. She's on the inside. What Sarah should be doing is looking over the entire store from the standpoint of products that she likes, has some affinity with, and get to know the rep, the person that is representing that line, and have that person coach her, what's it going to take for me to get a job in your company?
Exactly.
And we're off and running. And I don't want to say this is a no-brainer, but just about, because she's got 10 years' experience. She understands the customer that's buying the tools and the carpeting and everything, and that gives her a huge advantage. The only thing that's missing here in her qualifications, she doesn't have, as far as we know, any developed skills in, you know, knocking on doors. And, you know,
But she has credibility because she knows this industry.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And if she works for a large hardware outlet, one that's more than just a local, if it's regional or national, well, she would be an advantage to any of those organizations to call, to work for them, and then call on her very employer, because she knows how it works on the inside.
That's right.
Yeah, there you go.
That's very good, because that whole credibility of knowing the vocabulary, the products, I think that's a huge leg up. That's great. You ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
Okay. Oh, this is good. I've been in medical sales for 7 years. This is from Jason in Bloomington, Minnesota. This provides for a good income, but there's no future growth. I'm an A-type personality, and I'm thinking I should start my own business. How do I know if this is a good option for me?
Ah, well, you know, in the last question I answered, Linda, you failed to put your two cents in. So I'm going to take an initial stab at this, but I'd like you to – this one's got to be right up your alley, medical sales. So I would say that the most important thing Jason needs to do is find someone who has succeeded in starting his own business and at least had that business for 5 years. Now, there are two kinds of new businesses. There's franchise, and then there's literally starting from scratch with something brand new. The one thing that is going in Jason's favor is that he is in sales, and so that is going to be significantly helpful to him. Let's pick it up after
the break. We're taking a short two-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley how one can break out of the deep ingrained habit pattern of doing a dull job and choose to do something different. John, you made it sound so simple. You said all you have to do is believe.
Well, that's right, Evan. You recall the example to illustrate this point of what it means to believe. It's about the guy who says, I will cross Niagara Falls on a tight wire pushing a wheelbarrow. This person has done the act many times at the state fair, but now he wants to do Niagara Falls.
Okay. I recall the illustration, and then the observer is asked, do you believe he can do it?
Yep, that's it. The observer shrugs his shoulders and says, yeah, sure. He has done it before, no big deal. And then the question comes back to the observer. Well, if you believe he can, well then, hop in the wheelbarrow.
Okay, so it is that type of committed belief that it takes to break free of the deep ingrained habits of doing a dull job.
That's right.
So how does one muster up that belief to get there? Take an energy drink?
Well, we can think each step of that belief process needs to come in more bite-sized chunks. Sort of like, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Okay, so what are the bites?
Well, the first bite is to discover how you are gifted with innate talent. Also, that your passion or inner stirring combined with that talent points to a valid actual career.
Okay, that's a good start. A person gets actual career titles on a printout report which your career match system provides.
That's right. Then we say, don't change any habits. Don't quit your job right now. Just locate at least three people who each are in one of the different careers you like the most from our list.
Now, what do you mean, the list?
Well, after testing, we provide for our client a list of the top 10 best career matches from over 90,000 options, and they select the three from the 10 they want to research first.
Okay, and from that preferred selection, they go to meet the person in each of their careers to ultimately find the person who has their job.
That's right.
I get it. It is by meeting that person that the emotions come to play.
That's right. Like, I can't live without this new job. For the first time, I get to be free to be the real me and get paid for it. I want it now more than that lousy, dull job that I'm doing.
Okay, and is there still a higher level of belief to make that happen?
Well, yes. The final stage is counting the cost of what it will take to get hired. The counselor needs to map it out, and this means if you really want this job, here is what it will take to get hired.
Okay, I get it. And then the belief sets in, I can do this. All I need is the dedication.
That's right. You said it correctly.
John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Well, thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the drudgery of a job which lacks meaning and purpose to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring and find the best of 90,000 career options. You will see the references, preferred counselors, at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return to advice for the job seeker. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley, who has been coaching men and women to advance beyond dull jobs to find fulfilling work since the mid-1970s. I'm Evan Newman, and now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
We're back to our broadcast. We are talking about job seeker questions. These are everyday men and women that are caught in the trap of trying to get hired, and they're up against a hurdle. And my co-host today is Counselor Linda Baugh from Scottsdale, Arizona. Linda is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. She has years and years and decades of experience. Well, I thought I'd throw that in there, Linda. If you just tuned in, you can see Linda's picture and bio on our website. So, Linda, we were right in the middle of a job seeker question, an individual that wants to start his own business. And I was just about to say that he is right on the cusp, on a positive cusp, because he has been in sales. He knows what sales is about. And if there's two things that will determine success in starting your own business, one is you're going to be spending at least half your time marketing, selling, and the second is you better be sure you know your numbers. You better make sure that you have somebody helping you or you yourself understand accounting. Otherwise, you could be very busy and go bankrupt and not even know that. So, Linda, take it from there. How would you advise Jason?
Well, let's just frame it again. Jason's been in medical sales for 7 years, and he's thinking about, you know, should I start my own business? Is this a good option for me? And you're right. You could start a business or get into a franchise, but do the homework first. And just like you said, talk to someone who's already started a business and it's been successful after 5 years. And in looking into franchises, I've got a bit of experience in this. We have to be careful here because there are some franchise representatives whose only qualifying questions have to do with, can you afford to buy the franchise? And there are others who want to put someone like Jason, who might be considering a franchise, through assessments to be sure that he's the personality type
yes.
to be successful in a franchise, and then move forward to look at different options. And so that would be another suggestion. If a person's looking at getting into a franchise, you speak with a franchise professional who represents many options, not just one. That
yes,
sense,
and certainly, I mean, I would assume the franchise would encourage this, is to talk with someone who has succeeded in the franchise.
Right.
If they don't offer one, I would certainly go there. My experience, however, Linda, has been that most entrepreneurs that are thinking of their own business, they're not necessarily thinking of a franchise, but they
mm-hmm.
have some unique something or other that they want to do. And you know, a lot of that just comes from passion. I want to have my own thing, or I've always dreamed about, and now's my chance. I don't know about you, Linda, but the numbers that I keep reading about are definitely not in favor of that person succeeding. There's a very small percentage that do succeed because a lot of times they're just so passionate and they get into this thing and they didn't really do their homework. But if you do your homework, I think that the chances are very good. Another thing I would say, Linda, in the state of Oregon, and I'm assuming now that because it exists in Oregon as a template, so to speak, there are one of these in every state, and that's an entrepreneur, new business startup association. And these individuals get together and they talk and they have seminars and they even have their own angel investor councils to look at your business proposal.
I agree. And there also throughout the many of the United States, there is something called the Small Business Development Centers. And they're usually associated with colleges or community colleges. So those are a couple of good resources for our listeners to check out.
Yes. And, you know, when we're talking about aptitude assessment, I would think it'd be fair to say that generally the entrepreneur, the one that really is all fired up and excited, can't sleep at night, you know, is dreaming about this, there's a high degree of impulsivity. And impulsivity is the opposite of discipline and systematic and planning and so on. So, you know, we need to find someone who is more level-headed and more even keel to balance, you know, sort of have a sounding board that can help Jason in you know, thinking this thing through.
And candidly, the IDAC assessment might be a good tool to help him see if his style is a good fit, if his you know, natural talents are a good fit. Okay, let's grab one more. Oh, my goodness. My son, Jonathan says, my son helps me as a laborer in my residential contracting business, but his heart isn't in it. How do I get him motivated to look at other career possibilities with the least confrontation?
Well, it sounds like there have been possibly some heated words in the past, you know, and I don't know, maybe dad is providing son a job because son can't get a job or something, you know. You know, this is a toughie. Linda, my perspective is that everyone has a desire down deep to do something significant in their life, to have a sense that my life counts, that I am doing something worthwhile. And apparently, the son that's just a day laborer, every day he's just going to work, nothing job, that flame is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And so the son needs to get in an environment that can give him a 360-degree stimulus as to something that gets him all fired up. There's only one place I know of where that can happen, and that is at a community college or and if the son has not done well in school, then the son should choose some kind of study where they have the son has consistently done well, rather than the typical, well, in the first 2 years you got to do your general education requirements. So if the son is really good with hands-on industrial arts or metal shop or auto body or whatever, at least get them in the milieu of ideas and people and different lines of work that are all coming together. And that, to me, would be the least confrontational. And then hopefully get the son to do a field experience in something that's of interest. I had something like that happen in our family, and my son was just going nowhere. He went to college, and he dropped out, and he was home for, a week or so, and it just so happened that I was able to talk to him about a new career. We're out of time, Linda. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you, John.
And so that finishes up our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He has been helping mid-career men and women find their sweet spot since 1973. In addition to counseling mid-career men and women, John has authored 4 career advancement books. The IDAC Group has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide, and John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. He has personally selected 12 of these 600 whom he features as preferred counselors on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They are not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group. They have not paid any fee to be featured on this broadcast nor on IDAC's website. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I encourage you to join us next week at the same time for our next live broadcast. I think all of us know someone who is unemployed or frustrated in their job search. Why not send them a tweet, email, or Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcast by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening. Best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.